And let's now continue our look at the fourth National Climate Assessment, the major government report on climate change, released last week by the White House. This week, the president said he was skeptical of the findings, in part because our air and water is at record clean. But the report has a whole chapter on water, and one of its conclusions is that human-caused climate change is already affecting water quantity and quality in the U.S. Upmanu Lal, director of the Water Center at Columbia University, co-authored the National Climate Assessment's chapter on water. Professor, welcome.
Thanks, Robin. How are you?
I'm fine, but our water doesn't seem to be. You write, water security in the U.S. is increasingly in jeopardy. Let's tick through some of the things that you are looking at. For instance, we have depleted groundwater, diminishing snowpack. It's raining more in places where it should be snowing?
Yes, there's definitely evidence of that as part of warming. Basically, we end up storing the precipitation in the winter as snow, and then it's available during the melt period. So the main issue would be if it now starts coming as rain, we need new mechanisms for storing that water for later use.
Yeah. And we already know that this impacts areas that are already suffering droughts, and you have water managers in the Southwest trying to figure out how to share the Colorado River. What's some of the impact when we don't have as much water as we need in areas?
Well, as it stands today, much of our water infrastructure is now aged. It's beyond its design life. And the example I'll give you is dams. We have around 88,000 dams in the United States that are taller than 15 meters. The median age of these dams is around 70 years, and their design life was around 50 years. So if you bring up the concern of how do we balance the transition from snow to rain or persistent droughts, then the buffering capacity that was provided by these dams is now questionable. Mm-hmm. And also, this is one of the reasons groundwater is being depleted, because if there's not enough stored behind the dams, then people will tap groundwater and then that gets depleted because the rate at which groundwater recharges is very, very slow.
So, yeah, you've just described a cycle. First of all, these dams as a buffer against not having enough snowpack, for instance. But if the dams are damaged, and they have been, I mean, your report cites the South Carolina dam failure in 2015, North Carolina 2016 after tropical storms, the Oroville Dam spillway cracked during heavy rains in 2017. So this is just current weather, never mind weather that is to come. And will the infrastructure, will the dams hold? But even right now, you say that they're not in good shape. And so people start using groundwater more. Talk about groundwater. What's some of the danger of climate change for groundwater?
Well, the buffering capacity of groundwater is what we hope to rely on during droughts. But what has been happening, and this is in part, again, not a climate change story, but just a policy story, is that the way water rights are structured in the U.S. And also the where the crops are being grown, thanks to crop insurance subsidies that the federal government puts forward, we have an unsustainable trajectory for water use, and that's a big problem. Mm-hmm. So the concern with climate change that comes forward is that if we currently start depleting groundwater because of inappropriate policy structures, then later when we need it, we won't have it.
You know, some have forecast into the future, you know, even wars and violence, people fighting over water. Do you see that?
I personally don't see that. I think the challenges that we foresee may be just as important looking at past climate as at future climate. And the reason I say that is if you just look at the last 100 years, that was a relatively moderate climate period in the context of the previous 500 to 1,000 years over North America. We had continental scale droughts that were quite severe in the 13th century, 14th century transition periods. And if we were to experience those today, then we would be already in trouble. However, I think the trajectory that we have seen is that we have had increasing water use efficiency over time. Mm-hmm. And so at least in North America, this is not an issue. globally, there will be places that will be more stressed, and there will be a strong pressure for migration out of those areas or a humanitarian demand. That is indeed possible. And even in those areas, I would say, even if you are not a believer in anthropogenic climate change, what we have seen in the paleoclimate is quite concerning.
Yeah. Well, and just to expand on some of the things that are giving you some hope, because you talk about better water management, we have things like tighter plumbing codes that have led to overall decrease in household water consumption. People are using dishwashers, which, believe it or not, use less water than hand washing, things like that. And you have reservoir operators, I understand, who are really being conscious of how much water they're releasing and trying to store more water. So we have more water management. But let's talk some more about the problems that you and others see in this report. For instance, we have seawater more and more coming up onto land. What does that do?
So we will have intrusion of salt water into groundwater systems. Of course, we have groundwater depletion in the Midwest and in California and the Southwest more generally. But along the East Coast, we also have significant groundwater depletion. In our neighborhood, New York City gets water from surface reservoirs from the Delaware and Catskill systems. So we don't have significant groundwater use. But in Rockland County, which is adjoining New York City, and also in Long Island, there is groundwater use. And as sea level rises, that would be a threat. Yeah. Of course, there's a threat for inundation and nuisance flooding, and then in the event of a hurricane, more catastrophic flooding if the sea levels were higher. Yeah.
Well, but you have the warming temperatures that also have been creating those algae blooms, like the one, the horrific one we saw in Florida, these blooms that are fed by nutrients from farm, you know, wastewater, treatment plants, the water that runs off into other areas, and warm rivers, life-threatening for things like salmon. Also, we have farming, and we understand now that a lot of the water that's used for farming is evaporating and so is kind of wasted because of the heat. Who's going to be most affected by climate change effects on water, and what should they be doing?
So you sketched out a very good storyline on ecological impacts, but you also pointed out that quite a bit of that ecological impact really comes from nutrient runoff from farms. Not wanting to bash agriculture for high water use and high pollution, what I would say is that there is significant opportunity for improvement in both nutrient application, pesticides application, and water conservation. So I'm going to point to that area where strategically, through public and private partnerships, and actually NGOs are very active, environmental NGOs are very active in this space, there is great opportunity for improvement. And the reduction of the loadings and abstraction of water from river systems.
Look, there's so much here, Professor Lal, but I do want to ask you one last thing, and I don't mean this in a mocking way, but I'm sure you heard President Trump say he didn't believe the report because, for instance, we have record clean water and clean air. What would you say to him or anyone of the same thinking to get across your concerns about water?
So interestingly, he also said last week that clean air and clean water are very important and he's fully supportive of them. I would leverage that and say, let's do it. Meaning, let's go forward on that idea and ensure that we do have clean water and air. We published a paper earlier this year. The lead author on that was Maura Allaire from the University of California at Irvine, but she was previously at Columbia, where we document that there are increasing trends for safe drinking water violations across the country, and they are highly concentrated in areas that are rural, small cities, in the South, in the Midwest, predominantly in areas that heavily supported President Trump in the election. So let's do it.
Upmanu Lal, professor of engineering at Columbia University, director of the Columbia Water Center, and co-author of the Fourth National Climate Assessment Chapter on Water. Professor, thanks so much.
Thanks, Robin.